Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For 1600 years, the confessions of St. Augustine have provided a message that countless Christians have cherished. Aside from the fact that this was the very first autobiography, it is the journey of a saint that fascinates. It's the advice from an elder, one who was not always a saint. St. Augustine examines himself as no stranger to depravity, this one who in his youth stole pears from a pear tree, not because he was hungry, but just because he was told not to, who later, to his mother's dread and disgust, moves in with his girlfriend, gets her pregnant, breaks up with her because he's supposed to marry someone else, then gets another girlfriend to bridge the gap between the first girlfriend and the marriage, and then doesn't marry the girl, becomes a priest. He has a lot to think about when he becomes that priest, and to God he writes these words about that time in his life. He says, "Oh, how torturous were those paths! Woe betide the soul which supposes it will find something better if it forsakes you. Toss and turn as we may, now on our back, now side, now belly, our bed is hard at every point, for you alone are our rest." Can anyone read such an account and not find comfort and kinship with his honesty about what a confused man he was? How human this man that we now call saint, who spoke from experience, saying, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." But perhaps especially because the words are the voice of antiquity. This is not the advice from one of our own friends or even from one of our elders. This is advice from a great saint of the ancient church. And he seems to understand the messes that people get themselves into. But his is not the oldest voice, of course. St. Peter's letters in the Bible are general epistles. General epistle, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, they were sent around. And when you read the letters yourself, you'll find the voice of antiquity, of course, and the divine voice of Holy Scripture. And that is enough to highly value the words that you read. Here is advice from a truly wise elder, a voice that even St. Augustine could hearken to. But for the first readers, St. Peter was a contemporary. Think of that. And perhaps he was even younger than the people he was writing to. And whether or not they respected St. Peter, or knew that St. Peter probably understood too, they needed a word, they needed advice, they needed wisdom, because while Christianity was not under full persecution yet, the Emperor Nero had already caused one wave of persecution by the time the letter was written. Christianity was at the time an unofficial and unsupported religion and increasingly despised. St. Peter's message was written to prepare these believers for an intensification. How to live in this world as a despised Christian is not an easy message to preach. If you place yourself in the shoes of the first hearers of this letter and hear the letter as they would have heard it, you'll find that not only does St. Peter offer a comforting voice to us from the ancient past, but he wrote to them using voices of the ancient past to them, those first readers. They were hearing a comforting voice from an era in which God's chosen people, Israel, were also often despised. And from St. Peter, then, they were hearing encouragement from the Old Testament. In the first chapter, St. Peter speaks about the glory of God and the vanity of the world and echoes a comforting voice from Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter 1, 24, 25. He repeats those words of that prophet, saying, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." repeated for centuries already by a people captured, taken into exile, and returned to their land humbled. Now these Christians could receive the same words as children of God facing a new persecution. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, St. Peter draws from Isaiah and from the Psalms, verses like these, from Isaiah 28, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Psalm 118, 22, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner." Isaiah chapter 8, "A stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall." St. Peter now speaks in the midst of the distress of his first hearers, saying, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." St. Peter's first audience could be comforted to know that their questions were not new questions, and neither were the answers. Later readers would sense the kinship too, for it would not be long before hatred for Christians would grow as the Roman Empire began to decline. And as Christianity grew, Christians became more and more irritating to the surrounding culture as they refused to capitulate. Likewise, we have become more and more irritating to our culture when we do not capitulate to the swirling vanities of our own time. And so the message is equally for us as well. But St. Peter was not trying to scare people. He was trying to encourage and exhort. 1 Peter chapter 3. His readers were already a little dismayed about their poor reception in the world as Christians. And he turned to the witness of God's people from centuries before and found an answer to the question, what should we do and how should we live in times such as these? And here there are answers then for us as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, he quotes Psalm 34, verse 12 through 16 in our passage for today, saying, "Those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil, and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and ensue it," or pursue it. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The prevailing culture would turn against them more vehemently as the years would go on, with emperors less and less willing to tolerate these people of an unofficial faith, an unapproved faith, these followers of Christ. And St. Peter speaks to them as God speaking to the chosen people of Israel then. Those who felt lost about how to face this new world could hear from the prophets who spoke to the Hebrews, who often felt lost about how to face their world centuries before. And the advice was the same, and it's the same for us. St. Peter echoes the psalmist and exhorts Christians, keep your tongues from evil, from speaking deceit or guile. Temptations will arise in the midst of this world to return evil for evil. When you are slandered as one who holds to an antiquated faith that just won't get with the times, the temptation is to even the score and strike back in return, to get down in the muck. But what is the best thing a Christian can say in a world of wicked words? To speak truth and to be sure that our own tongue, if there is any spiteful or gossiping or malicious or fearful nature to it, that that tongue is hushed. To keep your tongue from evil and speak truth. St. Peter echoes the psalmist and exhorts Christians, turn away from evil and do good. The opportunities to do evil in this world increase and multiply, especially as the definition of evil is more and more muddled And the daily effort of the world is to smudge and blur distinctions between right and wrong, and many in the church are confused as well. What is the best thing a Christian can do in an unrighteous world? Better than yelling about it? Be a righteous person yourself. And search your life for signs of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Because our temptation is to confront the world with disgust and anger and unrest and outrage and anxiety and harsh words and threats and wrath. But turn away from evil and do good. St. Peter echoes the psalmist and exhorts Christians, seek peace and ensue it, pursue it. If others around you were to answer a question about you, and the question was, what is he or she pursuing in their life? Would they say peace? St. Peter draws from the psalmist to speak to the first Christians, to call forward to the church fathers, to send a message to the medieval church, to announce to the reformers, to get a message to you and to all the others. Seek peace and sue it. It's not a new message. And your goal in this world, whether cognizant of it or not, your goal may be to express yourself, to have your way, to get your name on a plaque somewhere, or to win a trophy. But instead, pursue peace in yourself, in your household, in your relationships, in your church. Firmly situate yourself upon the cornerstone of Christ, because he's the Prince of Peace. He knows all about peace. The cornerstone is being rejected again as the culture begins to question more and more whether anything is ultimately real or true, let alone a cornerstone, especially this ancient faith in Christ. You have the voices of countless ages of Christians speaking to you. Place your faith and your hope in Christ and don't be misled, regardless of the noise. Foundations are being tested, perhaps more severely now than in a long time, and our culture presses, asking what happens if we attack truth? What happens if we attack the church? And if we are distressed by what we see, we may remember this is not the first time. And we can hear a voice from our brothers calling forward to us from the first century. This is the advice from your elders. St. Peter says, do not fear. If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. And why in the world would St. Peter feel so bold as to tell us not to be afraid? Because someone told him once not to be afraid, and that person was Christ. Peter had an experience that helped him to understand this and to say these things without wavering in his epistles. St. Peter was in a boat with other fishermen, casting his nets out and catching nothingness, as if to say catching withering grass, fading flowers, worthlessness, emptiness. And he hears his Lord, the advice of his elder. Imagine the advice of a carpenter for a fisherman. He had every right to say, you don't understand. Our struggle is foreign to you. I'm the fisherman. You're the carpenter. I know when to be afraid. I know when hope is lost. And I know an unfruitful day when I see one. But instead, he said, nevertheless, he listened and obeyed the voice of antiquity, and he hauled in such a substantial catch, such a glorious catch, a weighty catch of fish, that he had a major conversion experience. His eyes were opened. The cornerstone was in the boat with him. The one whom the prophets had foreseen, the one who created the psalmist and the prophets, and he spoke the truth, and he turned from evil and did good, and he sought peace, and he pursued it. And there was an overflow. St. Peter thought he knew when hope was lost. He knew what his experience had taught him about his life. He thought he knew he was a wise man, a provider, an experienced tradesman. But then he knew enough on this day to listen to Christ as well. What could it hurt to obey the Lord once in a while? He took in so many fish that the boat was about to sink. And Jesus was saying to him and to us, I am the Lord. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the fish in the sea. I make the boats float or sink. I make the storms rise or dissipate. Instead of laying down or giving up, lay down the meaninglessness of the flesh, fishing for fish. I will give you something weighty and glorious to do. I will bring you in with me to do what I'm doing. Lay down your nets, and I will make you fishers of men. Do not be afraid. May we this day speak truth. May we see truth. May we believe truth and stand on truth. May we this day turn away from evil and do good, setting aside wrath. May we this day fear no evil or strategy of the world. And may we this day lay aside all other pursuits, but rather seek peace and ensue it, as the wise apostles of old did when they had brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.